Today I'm talking with Serafina Dwyer. She's a comic artist and illustrator, and she is putting together an anthology called Love in All Forms, The Big Book of Growing Up Queer. And she and I are sitting down today to talk about this project and the folks that are working on it and what to kind of expect from the Kickstarter. So thanks, Serafina, for coming on.
No problem. I'm very glad to be talking with you today.
So, my first question, I kind of want to, just for the folks that haven't seen the project yet, I want them to kind of have an understanding of what this book is and what your role is.
Okay, well, my role is mainly as editor, compiler, and contributor. I am a contributor. I'm contributing about 7, maybe 8 pages to the book as a whole, but I'm kind of leading all the contributors with a direction in mind. I check in on their sketches, on their inks, on their thumbnails, things like that, as we all go through the process of creating each of our contributions. And I'm putting the book together as a PDF and setting it up for print. I'm also running the Kickstarter. I'm kind of like the one-woman show here. I hate saying that because there's so many contributors and they all have such an amazing part of it. But as for actually creating the physical book, that's all going to be on me and the printer. And so I will be packaging. I will be sending out all the books myself. And I'm sure my dear husband will be helping me as well. But it's really a very big role for me to have, and I'm very excited to have it. As for what the book is, the project started as a really simple thing. I asked my Twitter feed how anyone would feel about a queer children's book, because I see so few out there. Like, I get a little emotional about it, actually. But you see books called things like Adam Has Two Dads or things like that, but they address queerness from kind of an outsider point of view. There's very few books out there and media out there that actually talks about queer children, like children, boys who like boys, girls who like girls, boys and girls who are defined as boys and girls by their parents or by their family or by society, who don't feel like they're boys or girls. And it's incredibly important to me, as someone who is queer, to share that with the world, that there are children who feel this way. And sorry, like I said, I get a little emotional. It's something really close to my heart. And so the book itself is going to be a collection of, let's see, 14 different stories from 14 different contributors. Actually, I think we might have another colorist coming on board with one of the contributors, so it might be 15 contributors. But yeah, it's going to be about 134, maybe 40 pages, and it's all full color, and it's going to be 6x9, and it's going to be incredible, I think.
It sounds like it sounds like you're putting a lot of work into this yourself. It sounds very much like a labor of love.
Oh, it absolutely is. To be honest, I don't expect to make much money off of it. I think it could be a huge product. Like, I think people are kind of starving for this kind of thing. And, I don't want to downplay the efforts of people who are out there doing these things. But it's like, how to put it? It's like it's so hard to find this stuff that we end up starving for it anyway, even though it's out there, you know? And honestly, I'm incredibly happy just to create it and get it into the hands of kids and adults and teenagers and anyone who wants to read something like this, you know, and it makes me very happy.
Good. So that's one of my questions, actually. It's like, with comics anthologies in general, oftentimes if you're funding through a crowdfunding source like Kickstarter, it's folks that have the credit card that are able to pledge. So I'm kind of wondering, have you thought about how this is
going
to get.
The angle I'm going with?
Sorry?
The angle I'm going with?
No, like kind of how are you going to get this into kids' hands? Because I think that they're the most important audience, right? They're the ones that you're trying to target with this material.
Exactly.
Because to give them that sense of, you know, I'm not alone in this. There are other people that have had an experience the way that I'm experiencing life right now.
Yes, exactly. I really want to target parents and guardians and family members of people who are of children who are recognizing that they are not what's called normal. They're not heterosexual or cisgendered, and I want them to be able to see that this will be something valuable for that child in their life. And I also some of the perks in particular that we're creating. One of them is very fun. It's going to be a superhero cape with the logo of the book on the back of it. And I'm collaborating with a embroidery company and a clothing shop to actually create these. And I thought that would be a really cool thing to that people could see and be like, oh man, this kid in my life would love that. And I wanted that to help draw people in. And, you know, I'm not sure how to word this, but I'm definitely trying to get it into kids' hands. Another way I'm doing it is I want to donate a lot of books to libraries across the U.S. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this one. I wanted to have a perk where I could, where people could buy, like, 3 copies of the book, and I would personally send it to a library of their choice. Hopefully in the U.S. I'm not sure if I can do it outside the U.S. I'm still trying to figure out those kinks. But anyway, so, like, honestly, some of the only way I find queer material, even as an adult, is through the library. And, you know, where do kids hang out? Where do they go when they have nothing to do after school? A lot of them go to the library. And I think that would be a really great opportunity to get it into kids' hands.
I think the library angle is really important. I think that I do think that the library is this is coming from a person that worked in a library in the past. Like, I think that that's a really important center of life in a lot of people's lives. I think that's a good place to start. Seems like you've put together quite a list of contributors here.
I have. I'm very, very grateful to them.
All of them. And some folks that I recognize right off the bat, and I'll probably butcher some names here, but Deshanique and Sarah Cirilli and Sarah Getter and Corey, is it Michelle? I can't remember.
It is Michelle,
okay. So these are all folks that I recognize, really talented cartoonists. Giselle Jobata? Jobata? Okay.
Jobati.
Well, she's doing some really amazing work, too. So, like, see these folks on Twitter or their Twitter handles, and I look at their stuff online, so you definitely have kind of a star-studded team.
I do. I'm very lucky in that regard. I sent out a bunch of, you know, inquiries of interest, trying to see who would be interested in it. And, you know, I got a lot of responses, but some people weren't able to pull through. Some people couldn't do it because they're scheduling and stuff. And so I'm really lucky. I got such an incredible list of contributors. They're amazing, and I'm very glad to work with them. They're all incredible people.
Cool. So the Kickstarter goes live in March. For all the folks that are listening now, we've recorded this a bit ahead of time. When do you think the books will be printed and out to backers?
Let's see. Okay. Depending on if we... Because one of the stretch goals we have is to include some content from several other contributors who were not able to, for various reasons, contribute to the book before the Kickstarter. So basically, you'll be paying for them to create this content special for this book. And so if the book gets funded without them, it will still be great and it will still be excellent, but it's just that extra step that will be great to include that extra content. And if we don't reach that goal at all, probably about June is when I could actually start sending books out. Otherwise, likely August. So there's about a two-month difference.
Okay, so have you thought about, are you trying to get the release, like a public release lined up with, say, SPX, or is this going to be more of a see how it goes kind of thing?
Living in Idaho, I have very few options for conventions I can go to. I'm going to hopefully be able to go to a couple ones in Spokane, one I'm really hopeful to go to, Rose City Comic Con in Portland, and I wanted to go to one later in the year. I think it's Nerd Girls Con or something like that, and forgive me, my memory's terrible, but one of the first conventions I'm going to be going to have a physical release is going to be in Spokane, and if anyone who listens to this lives in Sandpoint, Idaho, I'll hopefully be able to be having book signings in the local library.
Okay, cool. Since you're like on the West Coast early, not on the West Coast, have you thought about like cons like the new Comics Arts LA, which started up this year, and some other stuff?
I thought about it. They're over in actual Los Angeles, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a bit of a drive.
It is. Last year I drove down to Sacramento with my husband, and it was quite a drive. It was, I think, about 16 hours for us in actuality, and our estimate was quite a bit lower. But I've thought about it. It, depending on how big the Kickstarter is and how well things go, it's possible I might be able to do that. I would very much like to. It just depends on how big I can make this project in order to, you know, justify going to such a big and such a far away place.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing when it comes to small comics in general is there's a ton of shows and not all of them are very close.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering if. It sounds like you've been working with these contributors so far and kind of have a good idea of what kind of stories they're going to be turning in as far as the final product. It looks like you've got a great list of stories that focus on kids all across the queer spectrum, and I wanted to ask you about that and the sense of how did you and your artists kind of come up with the stories they wanted to tell, or are these more personal stories, or are these more fiction?
How to put it? Okay, well, just about every single one of them is fiction. A couple of them are autobiographical, mine included. It's more semi-autobiographical. It's kind of a reimagined incident from my childhood. And I approached them with the idea that I didn't just want to tell stories about queer kids coming to terms with their queerness. I wanted stories that normalized queerness, that made it an everyday thing, that made it you know, not secondary to who they are, but an aspect of who they are, and that there's so much more than that. And actually, most of our contributions don't use labels, really, which I think is an interesting aspect. There's a couple that say specifically, like, lesbian or bisexual and things like that, and but most of them kind of exist outside of the label, which I think can be useful. I think a lot of labels are very... are excellent for people who need a label or who need to feel like they're not the only one. labels can be great, but especially for kids, it's kind of hard figuring out what label do you fit in? You know, where do you go? So I wanted them to be able to just have their experiences represented. And not only that, I wanted fantastical stories about them. You know, like Cora Michelle, I'm going to have to be careful because I want to make sure I don't mess up anyone's pronouns, but whether they're cis or not, I don't want my assumptions to get in the way. But Cora Michelle has a fantasy story about an intersex person and a transgender girl. And they go on an adventure together, and it's really an incredible story. I'm very grateful to have Corey on board with us. And Corey is an example of that I wanted to tell stories that weren't just labels, and they weren't just everyday coming to terms with who you are, but it was that kids can see themselves as heroes, you know? And let me see what else I can say. It's a big, complicated way to go about it, but I think it's a meaningful one, you know?
Yeah, I think that's important. Like one of the things I see, I think a lot, especially in anthology type work, and I'm thinking of a recent anthology from, I think it's Northwest Press, Anything That Loves.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice anthology, but my admittedly limited reading, there were a lot of stories that were, it was a person's, you know, identification or coming out story, which is not bad, but, you know, that may not be the best content for a 7 or 8 year old who wants to just enjoy reading.
Yeah. And, I think, how to put this? I think a lot of what I wanted this book to be was, coming to the idea of acceptance from different angles, because a lot of stories about coming out or about acceptance focus almost exclusively on things like the family or the parents, and it's always like this big moment, you know, like, Dad, I'm gay, or something like that, and that's fine. You know, those can be authentic, wonderful experiences to share with people, but like my contribution in particular focuses on being accepted by your friend, you know, someone you care about a lot, and you worry whether or not they'll accept you and care about you if you're not what they thought you were, you know, if you're not normal, quote-unquote, whatever they think normal is. And let me take a breather. And there's also stories that where it's like acceptance isn't even a question. Like one of my, I believe they are unpublished. What I got their piece from this open call for submissions that I put out there, and their piece is about a young girl who's trying to practice to flirt with girls, basically, or to get their attention and make them like her, you know. And her mother sees this, and you know, it's not even a question. You know, she doesn't judge her for it. She doesn't treat her poorly for it. She doesn't even give her the talk. She doesn't make assumptions about who her daughter is. She just loves her, and she just helps her through what she's experiencing. And I thought that was super important, you know? And, I'm not sure what else I can say about that. Yeah. Ramble a bit, sorry about that.
Who's your unpublished cartoonist?
Oh, did I not say their name? Taylor Pendleton.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Go ahead.
So the anthology comes out, everything goes well, and you have this lovely book, and you're sending to libraries and selling it on the internet, etc.
Mm-hmm.
What after that?
I would like to continue going to conventions to be able to sell them to people like teenagers or young adults or grown-ups who have children and things like that. honestly, the book is aimed specifically for children, usually probably between 5 and 12. That's what I told all my contributors. It can be read and enjoyed by anyone. And I'd like to see if I can get it actually into some shops, and hopefully on Amazon. I'll be selling it on my website, which I'm going to be putting up shortly. I'd like to be able to continue selling it. And on top of that, I'm really hopeful for the idea that this anthology can become a yearly every two-yearly thing. Biannually, I think the term is. And because if kids, because there are holes in our representation, and I wish there weren't, you know, but you can only do so much, especially when you have an open call for submissions and people submit what they feel, you know, what they experience, and that's great. But like, for instance, we didn't have almost any stories submitted about gay cis boys. And so I'd like to be able to confront those holes in our representation in later editions. I'd like it to be a series that can have, that a kid can pick up one book and see themselves in it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's important. And that idea of, you know, that idea of continuity and continuing to grow stories either through more editions of the anthology or what have you, I think that's really important. If listeners or readers want to find you or the work of your contributors, how can they do that?
They can go onto my Tumblr, which is Serafina-Dwy.tumblr.com, and they can click onto my page, which I specifically made a page on my Tumblr for this, Love in All Forms, the Big Book of Growing Up Queer. You can also see there's still an FAQ up from when people were submitting ideas to the anthology, and I'm hopeful to be able to continue having an anthology that people can submit to, but they can look on that page and get all of the information about what it is, a hopeful publish date, when the Kickstarter is going to get going, and all of the contributors. I link to every contributor's website or portfolio or what have you. And if you want, you can also get onto my Twitter, and I follow basically everyone I have in the book, just about. And so if you look in my followers, you can find everyone.
All right. Well, Serafina, thank you so much for your time. The anthology will be going up on Kickstarter very shortly, and it's Love in All Forms, the Big Book of Growing Up Queer. Thank you, Serafina.
Thank you, Alex.